My name is Lauren Ober. I am the host of WAMU and NPR's The Big Listen. We call it the broadcast about podcasts, but I think that we are much more than that. I think we are sort of like the New York Times Book Review, but for podcasts, also mixed with like the TED Radio Hour, with a little dash of Oprah's Book Club, maybe. Like, you get a podcast, and you get a podcast, and everyone has a podcast under their chair. I know that's not as exciting as getting a car, but whatever. It's pretty close. So as Tom mentioned, I've listened to thousands and thousands of hours of podcasts. Actually, when I think about it, it's bananas. We've had in this sort of two or so years of the show, we've had about 225 guests, each of whom is making something in the world. And so I've listened to all of what they consume. And so I feel like that's all I do now. If I don't have headphones on, I feel weird. Like, I feel naked. But it does mess up my hair. So anyway, so I am going to talk to you guys about what I think is missing in podcast land. It is a very big and emerging medium, but I think that there's so much more to be tapped. And I think that you can be part of that, whether or not you're consumers or creators or just people moderately interested. How many of you listen to podcasts regularly? Cool, cool. How many of you make something? Okay, all right. First, what's a podcast? I should note that I feel like I recently discovered GIFs or GIFs. And so I'm like your grandma and I will use them prodigiously in this to prove to you that I am cool. So obviously, very simply, a podcast is an on-demand audio product that is available on lots of different digital devices. We all know that. We all listen. But I just wanted to make sure that we are all on the same page with that. Also, I just needed a reason to use this GIF here. That is Phoebe Robinson and Jessica Williams of the show Two Dope Queens from WNYC Studios, an excellent comedy podcast. So just a couple of facts about podcasting before we get into it. There are more than 400,000 podcasts on iTunes right now, and about 75% of them are actually Apple Podcasts. Sorry, they changed their name midstream, and it's so annoying. So it's Apple Podcasts. And that's a lot of stuff. And it came out all in like a fire hose gush, right? You would never have 400,000 movies that came out in a span of 10 years. So it is a very big medium right now, and it feels kind of crowded. So one thing to note is that there are not many podcasts that get more than 50,000 downloads. So if you are not reaching that number, don't feel bad. You're in good company. Lots of American adults are listening to podcasts, obviously. Regular listeners is about a third. So that's pretty good. And it's growing every year. This research is from a company called Edison Research. They do this annual survey called the Infinite Dial. And it's a pretty comprehensive consumer media research project that they do every year. So there's lots of growth, but it is not necessarily all great. So you don't have to read all this. I know it's a lot of text, but I just wanted to outline a couple of areas that I think are the sort of like main podcast buckets. There's interview shows, panel and chat shows, like any Pod Save America show. It's just like people gas bagging with their friends. There's the solo host. It's like one man talking into a mic. Like, in my personal opinion, we don't need any more of those. Like, just one guy, like, chatting into a mic for, like, 4 hours. Dan Carlin does it. Nobody else needs to do it. There are the great storytelling podcasts, Mortified, The Moth, Risk. My favorite is the nonfiction reportage. I come from a journalistic background, or I am a journalist, I guess, and so that is what I like. Audio fiction, huge. It's Welcome to Night Vale, and then all the things that aren't Welcome to Night Vale. They were kind of the pioneer and thus have made, they have a huge footprint in that area. So many weird comedy shows, too many to mention. True crime, my least favorite, but also kind of my most favorite a little bit. Because the ones that are responsible, there's responsible journalism, like In the Dark. There's irresponsible journalism, and then there's irresponsible non-journalism. Now, you don't have to agree with any of these. This is just like my own assessment of what the landscape looks like. But I do think that true crime is an area where, like, we could stand to be a little more responsible in the way that we are approaching real people's lives and real tragedy. So just a plug, if you're out there doing a true crime, just like try to do your homework a little bit. And then other weird stuff that I couldn't find buckets for, like the Seltzer Death Match, which I will bring up later. It's literally a show all about seltzer. And who doesn't want that, right? LaCroix is very hot now. So I love this tweet. This is kind of tongue-in-cheek. This is a professor from Columbia University in New York. She says that there are 4 podcast genres: men going on about things, which we already talked about, whispery crime, millennials talking over each other, and shows that should be 20 minutes shorter. I wish that I had come up with this tweet. I like think about this all the time, like, oh, that should have been mine. Like, why didn't I think of that? Clearly it's because I'm not as clever as Emily. So I have some examples of those. Let's listen to men going on about things. Now, extra points if you guys can figure out what shows I'm talking about here. Also, if you have issues with these, if you don't agree with any of them, save it for the questions. Don't boo me right now, okay?
I was like, listen, you motherfuckers. How fucking dare you? First of all, how dare you? Like, what is this, a presidential election? The Big Three is an upstart business. It's an upstart league. People are digging it.
Okay, so that was been going on about things. Maybe you agree. Who knows what he was talking about? I don't know. Okay, so whispery crime.
Around 11 p.m., Tara told a friend at the party she was going home to watch the videotape from the pageant that day. She said her goodbyes and drove off. She was never seen again.
Where is she? Oh, no, another white woman missing. Okay, millennials talking over each other.
Oh, well, now we're back to sex.
Oh, by the way,
Aaron has a fantasy about him. Or you?
Well, he's my daddy issue. Right. I think a lot of people have Bill Clinton, and mine's Gordon Ramsay.
Wow, you're right. A lot of people do have Bill Clinton.
And weirdly, people who's like, it doesn't make, like, they were teenagers when Bill Clinton was in office. And you're
who's
like,
my daddy issue? Alan Alda.
I know that was a long clip, but the payoff was so good. Alan Alda. Okay, all right. Should be 20 minutes shorter. You guys may disagree with this one.
We just kind of are just sitting around, jerking off to various degrees of porn, completely subdued by binge-watching garbage, entranced into a paralysis of eating and just taking in stimulus.
That also could be men going on about things. There's a lot of crossover with number 1 and number 4. All right, so that was I Am Rappaport, Michael Rappaport, Up and Vanished, Throwing Shade, and WTF with Marc Maron. Sorry, but sometimes they should be 20 minutes shorter. Okay, but I think that there is a lot of innovation going on. And if I may put in a plug for the fairer sex, I think a lot of the innovation is being done by women. So here are a couple that I'm really into. 36 Questions, musical podcast, Another Round. Sure, it's a chat show, but it's really clever and it's done well. And Heaven Nagatu and Tracy Clayton kind of pioneered it. Seltzer Deathmatch, like I said before, it's just people talking about seltzer, but it's delightful. In the Dark, a true crime podcast done well. If you haven't listened to it, listen immediately. It is done by our friends at American Public Media and Minnesota Public Radio. And then the last one, sorry you can't see the bottom of the slide there, but it's called Sleepover. It is reality radio hosted by a woman named Sukyin Lee. And it's a very clever take on reality media. So basically, Sukyin Lee invites strangers, 3 strangers, into a hotel room, or the different seasons have done different venues, and then ask them to come together and talk about an issue that they're having. Each one brings an issue, and I just think that it is one of the most clever things that I've listened to. It is taking reality media and flipping it on its ear, literally, for audio. And here's a little clip of it.
I am in the ornate lobby of the Royal York Hotel in Toronto. It's late afternoon. There's a guy in a leisure suit playing the piano while a bride and groom pose for wedding photos by the spiral staircase. And here I am, dragging my giant blue luggage on wheels towards the elevator. I'm about to rendezvous with three complete strangers, very different from each other, for a little social experiment. We're going to spend the night together, problem solving. I know, it sounds nuts, and it is. Let's face it, we are kind of going mad together. As everything speeds up, it's way more easy to interact online, and it's much harder to find long stretches of time that we can spend together. And that's why we need a sleepover. I mean, I'm tired of staring at my laptop alone in my room, aren't you? I head down a hallway of identical doors leading to rooms full of strangers. And finally,
all right there.
My room, 1-134. There are two queen beds, a pull-out couch, and a window overlooking a very smoggy city. I lay my sleeping bag out on the floor and wait for the strangers to arrive.
I brought all the stuff you told me to bring.
Cool. We'll check this place out.
Where should I put my bag?
That's Charlie. She's 8 years old. And don't worry. She brought her mom.
Sachi, hello. Nice
Hi.
To see you.
Thanks to see you. How are you?
I'm very well. Please come into our luxurious hotel.
Hi. Oh. Hi, Alan. You're the third to arrive. What do you think?
I don't know. There's a lot of cameras, a lot of people pointing shit at me.
Charlie, Sachi, Alan, welcome to our sleepover. First of all, I want to thank you for taking a giant leap of faith with me. Over the next 20 hours or so, we're going to be asking each other all kinds of nosy questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yes.
As ready as I can be.
So what I love about this is, one, this would never be made in America. Like, no one in America would be like, let's invite older people, children, and like, no, who greenlit that, you know? Like, it seems like a liability beyond a liability. But anyway, what I love about it is it's just so, it's unlike something that I've heard before, and it's really a way of playing with the medium. It's also extremely taxing and labor-intensive for the producers. It's like hundreds of hours of tape that they have to go through to make, you know, a couple of 20-minute episodes. I also love it. It's just innovative. And that is what gets me out of bed in the morning, is people who are making strides in the medium. So what is innovation? I don't know. That's why I'm asking. So is it, who knows, coming up with a totally novel idea that no one has ever had because you are a genius, possibly. Connecting the dots that other people have already made but failed to link together because they're dodos, probably. I don't know because I haven't watched that TED Talk yet. Or borrowing from something dope and iterating the Roman Mars approach, or all of the above. Roman Mars, host of 99% Invisible and Trump Con Law, has the answer.
I say this all the time. Stealing plus lack of talent equals creativity. What I mean there is that in the effort to copy something, your skills or lack of skills or your different experience, it mutates the original, so that very often you come up with something that's completely new and completely yours. Copying is totally underrated, and mindful iteration is how good things become great things.
Okay, so that man is like the podcast king, and he's telling you to steal stuff. So if you're making things seriously, I think what he's saying is correct, that we're borrowing all the time. Art is always iterating. And I have used little bits of other pieces. Oh, this is an interesting technique. Oh, I like what they did with that sound play, you know, design there. I'd like to use that in mine, my stories, my show. So do consider that if you're making something or whatever you make. We're all making something, but like borrowing is A-okay. So all of, you know, it's great to be innovative, but you have to be able to execute it. This is Kelly McEvers. She is host of NPR's Embedded. She is a phenomenal reporter, and also a super nice person. And I think she's one of the best, at doing the journalistic storytelling that personally I love and that what all public radio thinks strives for, strives to achieve. So just a couple of things, in my opinion, what goes into making a good podcast. First is great writing, free of clauses, because while that works in print, it doesn't work in audio so much. We should speak on the radio or speak in audio like we speak in normal life. Be descriptive. The audio is sort of a cinema for the mind, right? You're able to create your own picture, but what you are getting, the input, has to be descriptive, and it has to be textural, and it has to have all of the senses. Good radio is, or good podcasting, sounds the way real people talk. So if you write something that would be beautiful on the page, step back and think, is this something that I would actually say in real life? Like, are you using your SAT words? Like, that's great if you want to challenge your listeners, but sometimes when we hear things that we don't know or are confusing to us, or we stop listening, we tune out. I mean, think of when you're in your car radio, you're probably switching the dial when something boring comes on or when an ad comes on, unless you know, just are a devoted public radio listener and you love every underwriting spot, which I know you all do. So good sound. I care a lot about sound. I care a lot about how sound is being used to move a story along. So if you are a podcaster and you are getting ambient sound or you're recording somebody, make sure they are on the mic and that it is clear. The mic shouldn't be over here. It shouldn't be over here. It's like, shouldn't be across the room. It should be right about here. And your guest will become comfortable with that at some point because they're looking at you and they can't see the microphone. But I think it's really important because when we don't like the way things sound, again, we turn them off. And the easier things are in the ears, the longer you have to retain your listeners. I love ambient sound. I love sound design. We're going to listen to a clip of Kelly's in a second, but you can hear the natural sound, the ambient sound of the space that she's reporting in, but you can also hear how the producers use music to pull you along. They didn't use music to patch over anything. They used it as a device, as a vehicle to advance the story. And that's really important, that it doesn't distract from what you're doing. It enhances what you're listening to. One thing I tell people when they're thinking, like, I want to start a podcast, which is everybody, because remember when blogs, everyone had a blog? Like, how many of you had a blog? Like, be honest. Be honest. All of you are lying. Every single one of you had a blog out there. I know it. I probably had three. But everybody wanted to have a blog, and it was great. And it was amazing because everybody got a chance to express themselves through writing if they had access to a computer and Wi-Fi and were literate and all of that. I think that we need to ask ourselves questions, or this particular question: why does this thing that I'm doing need to be in audio? Or should it be a video? Or should I make it in print? Or should I paint a picture of it? But why audio? And if you can answer that question for yourself, then I think you're in a much better situation for producing the thing that you want to produce, if you have a very solid answer. I think the last thing that goes into making a good podcast, and obviously there are lots of things that go into it, lots of little details, but I think having a really great idea that other people do not have, or iterating on an idea that already exists, having a dope host, Kelly McEvers is in fact dope, it's true, amazing stories that have beginnings, middles, and ends that take you through action and emotion and tension, and having really colorful characters. I'm sure some of you listened to S-Town. That worked because it felt literary, right? It felt like, oh, these characters could be on the page and they're jumping right out at you and they're in your ears. So here is a clip from an embedded show or an embedded episode called Trump Stories, The Golf Course. Embedded did a whole series about Trump issues. And this one I particularly enjoyed. The GIF is coming. Don't worry about it.
One day in June 1999, Tony Baker was walking on a cliff right next to the ocean. This is in Southern California. Tony had done a bunch of work on the cliff over the years. He's a conservationist, and one of his jobs was to plant native grasses and brush to help preserve the land. That day, he had his dog and his camera.
I was trying to get a photo of some swallows, and then all of a sudden, things started popping and rumbling. And then there was a deep rumbling. At first, I thought I was imagining things or something. Then I started seeing cracks opening up around me.
Cracks opening up in the ground and all this dust coming up out of the cracks.
Then it was really loud because you have, like, these cliffs that are crashing down into the ocean, you know, and I was like, okay, I need to figure out how to survive this.
So he holds onto his dog's leash and starts running. And he starts to realize he's in the middle of a landslide.
And as I was running, there were actually cracks opening up all around me. When I first started running, I jumped over some cracks that were probably 3 feet wide that were opening, that were still moving and opening. So I was like running and jumping. My dog was jumping with me.
Tony is running away from the ocean. And at one point, he turns around to look and sees that the edge of the cliff where he was just standing is sliding into the water. The place that he's made it to is sinking down and forming this sheer wall that he can't climb up. He's basically stuck. And this place where he's standing is actually part of a golf course that's under construction.
At that time, some guys from the golf club, some maintenance guys, had actually run over. They'd been not too far away, and they'd run over to the edge. And they were looking down. They could see me down below. And they motioned me to go over to the sand trap near the 18th hole there and told me to stay there.
They told him a helicopter was on its way. A little while later, the helicopter arrives with rescuers from the fire department.
They came down, didn't really touch the wheels to the ground, but they just like come down and they're right there. And the guy opens the door and just motions me with his finger, hop in. So I threw my dog in and jumped in afterwards.
And as he flew over, Tony saw that this huge swath of the cliff, this beautiful Southern California bluff overlooking the ocean, was just gone. And a lot more of it had sunken or sloped down. Tony gets out of the helicopter. He walks right by the TV reporters who've made it to the scene. He gets in his car and drives to this lookout point and just sits for a while. Not long after the landslide, the company that was developing the golf course on that land goes bankrupt. They just couldn't afford to repair all the damage. Tony and some of the other environmentalists hadn't been super thrilled about this golf course, but at least it was being built by local developers. Now, after this landslide, the land is worth a lot less money. It becomes what's known as a distressed property, which would provide an opportunity for a new developer who is looking to expand his business. A developer named Donald Trump.
So could you see this in your head? Could you see that clip? Could you see the guy like running with his dog and like the land is falling behind him? And then the music is like, it's this very restrained sound design and it's just underneath and it's like creating a little bit of tension and it's like, oh my God, what's happening? And then Kelly's read, her narration is so good. and just with the right amount of emotion in it, but it's not overwhelming what the man is saying, and she knows her place, she knows what her job is, it's just to be a conduit for this particular story. And I think that that's an excellent example of all of these things that I feel go into making something really good, or something that is narrative really good. Obviously, there are tons, as we mentioned before, tons of other types of podcasts that don't have this. But I think that the world that I come from in public radio, this is what we strive for. So speaking of public radio, you guys are doing this right here. KBSX 91.5, Boise State Public Radio, has its own podcast. It's new. It's called You Know the Place. And it is basically about all these places that you pass by all the time in Boise that you, like, never give any thought to. Or you're like, how is that in business? Or, like, what is that all about? So here's a little clip from them. And this image will make sense in 1 second.
Most of my clientele are females.
Really? And so are they just reptile lovers?
Yeah, they got passion for it.
Really?
A lot of them is just mainly the snakes.
Okay.
You know, women are attracted since day one of creation to a snake. And it holds true to today. Women are crazy for snakes. They love them and they love to get them, and I can't keep certain ones in stock sometimes because they just move so fast.
Really?
All I'm thinking is that, like, women in Boise are just, like, wrapped with snakes, like, so many snakes, like, everywhere. Brittany loves snakes. Let me tell you one thing. This is a word of warning. You're welcome in advance. Do not Google women in snake GIFs, because what you will get is a lot of extremely disturbing images that people have created of snakes eating women in bikinis. So that is a real thing. Don't do it. I did it, so you didn't have to. But anyway, like, what you got out of that was a super great character. Like, that guy, you cannot replicate him. First of all, I just want to tell you, I listened to that whole episode. The man refused to turn his music off because his shop is Boise's Rockin' Reptiles. And he's like, no, I have to keep the music on because that's what we do. And so you hear this, like, terrible, like, what is that, winger or something? I can't even remember. Like, in the background. And then he also has, like, an assistant who's a child, like, unclear if the child is related to him, whatever. Anyway, sorry to tell you the store's out of business. We learned that at the end. I'm sorry, spoiler alert, but it's true. So I love that local stations and local folks are doing this. Like, it doesn't just have to be the big national outfits. It doesn't have to be, you know, companies that are you know, there are tons of indie podcasts that are amazing. There are tons of station podcasts that are amazing. And I have high hopes for You Know the Place from your very own public radio station here. So before you can really make something, I know if some of you already are making stuff, like, ignore this or maybe take a tip, because for me, I told you, like, sound is super important. And these are just a couple of the tools that I think are critical. I mean, people think making audio is easy because you just, like, need a couple of things, but you have to be able to use them well. So getting a solid recorder, like, you can record on your iPhone, but if you're going to make a thing, invest a little bit of money. All of this you could get for under $500. You could probably get it used for, you know, under $300, but a really great recorder, a great microphone, headphones. Don't ever record yourself. Don't ever record anybody else without headphones on, because you will not know how loud it is. And trust me, the one time only that I forgot headphones and I was field reporting, I was, like, mortified, and it turned out garbage, and I will never, ever do it again. So headphones are really key. Don't use earbuds. Use the things that go over your ears. These are just my personal preferences. If you're making a show right now using some earbuds and an iPhone, I applaud you, but I bet you can up your game. So some software. There's lots of software out there that's free, Audacity and GarageBand. Super cheap Reaper. I use Hindenburg, which is what this little session is here. and it's very intuitive. It's super cheap. A lot of radio stations use Adobe Audition, which if you already have Adobe on your computer, it's sort of like the prosumer. And then the real fancy is Pro Tools, which like the big guns use, because it's super expensive and most people don't have it for themselves. Radiolab, you all know Radiolab from WNYC Studios, is one of those outlets that uses Pro Tools. This is what a Pro Tools session looks like. This is what a radio show looks like in computer form. If you can see, there's like 900 lines there of tracks. That's not like four tracks. That's like 18. It's extremely complicated. And I'll just play a little clip of a Radiolab thing, but see if you can hear all the different layers. You can hear, one host talking, then another host talking, then some ambient sound, then, some natural, like some tape from an event and all this. I'm not going to play the whole thing, because of our audio snafu before. I want to get to some other things, but just to give you a taste of how you could basically go from like you and your pal like chit-chatting in your basement like with your iPhone and then putting it up and that's a podcast, or to this, which is like the top of the heap professionally.
Okay, ready? Hey, I'm Jad Abumrad.
I'm Robert Krulwich.
And this is Radiolab.
Today we've got a story about the crazy power of words.
In particular, 60 words.
Single sentence.
That is, well, that has, you could say, defined America for the last 12 years. And,
Yeah.
And the place to start is a difficult one.
This just in, you were looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there.
September 11th, 2001, 8:46 a.m.
A plane has crashed into the World Trade Center. We don't know anything more than that. We don't know.
This is a day that anyone who is old enough to remember does remember. We can remember where we were, who we were with.
So you have no idea right
now? Oh, there's another one. Another plane just hit. Right? Oh, my God. Another plane. Right.
So that's just a taste of, like, how many layers you can put in a story. And Radiolab is particularly frenetic. You don't have, if you're trying to make something, don't try to jam it in with like 900 different, sounds. But if you see it's like bop, 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 and sometimes it's like different sounds in different ears. So I think that not everyone needs to make a Radiolab, but if you are making a thing, make something that you are uniquely qualified to make. This guy right here is, his name is Haile Garima. He's a professor of film at Howard University. And Howard University is in Washington, D.C. It's called Black Harvard. It is one of the elite historically black colleges in America. And it has an outstanding film program. If you saw Black Panther, you saw a couple of Howard University grads in it. Chadwick Boseman is one. And he tells his students, he comes from an African filmmaking perspective, which is very different than the Western European linear filmmaking perspective. And he tells his students to make what is the story inside of you. Don't make something that somebody else would be making. Don't make something that you think you should be making. And I love this. Here's a little clip from him.
I try to get my students think about. I say, think about where you came from. South Carolina, so rich. What are you bringing to the movie? Or are you just imitating television or Hollywood? Where do you come in? Where is your psyche in this story?
He has this other quote. I recorded him for a story years ago, and he said to his class, which are all African-American students, he said, Hollywood is not interested in your grandmother's story unless she's driving Miss Daisy. So basically, don't go through those channels. Tell the stories that you are equipped to tell. People on the East Coast, we don't know anything about where you come from and what is happening here. And it is the one thing that if I could change public radio, like I know more about Syria and I know more about Afghanistan than I know about Idaho or Kansas or Nebraska or other states that are not on the coast. And you all have stories to tell about where you live and where you come from. And I think that those are so much more valuable than to try to replicate something that somebody else is doing, or God forbid, another pop culture podcast where you're giving your hot takes on, like, I don't know, Beyonce, which probably I have a Beyonce gif here. I'm just letting you know that she's coming up. I want somebody to make a podcast that's just like bowling with Beyonce or something like that. Like bowling with the Knowleses, you know, like what if Beyonce had a podcast? Anyway, what is the story? What is the show that you are uniquely qualified to make? And I will tell you that here are the things that I would like to see made. Because there's a lot missing. We haven't covered all the buckets, and maybe one of you in this room can make one of these for me. So I would like the following voices, the very old and the very young. We mostly just hear from millennials, like no shade or whatever. I'm not a millennial, even though I look amazing. But I would love to hear voices that are not my peers. I would like people who are not in the middle class. I would like to hear female-identified people, because when you look in the iTunes charts, it is a whole lot of men. People who did not graduate from Oberlin or Middlebury, this might be a little bit of an East. Oh, I was like, did you graduate from it? Okay. That's more of an East Coast joke. Okay, so audio fiction that isn't sci-fi or spooky things, like something that is like a TV show but in audio form. History podcasts that are not about white European men. I don't know, just a thought. Some serialized narrative nonfiction with women's stories. There are very few of those. If you can make one, please do and send it to me. Improv or verite or reality radio. There's not a whole lot of that. It's because it's hard. But if you could make it, or somebody you know can make it, then please do. And then what's missing, whatever you're going to make that we can't wait to hear. Because I'm sure that within this room, there are a lot of people who have a lot of creative ideas brewing. If you don't have any ideas of your own, here are 50 free ones for you. I'm not going to go through all of these because I have like 2 minutes left. But I just wanted to show you that, like, I did promise. I'll give you the website at the end. There are 50 ideas for you here. You can steal them. You can iterate. You can do whatever you want. Here are some of them. I'll just throw these up there. Personal ads, like the ones in the back of Alt Weeklies before the internet ruined dating. Just want one of those. Maybe leave a microphone on a playground. Run it for days. See what you collect. Might not be legal, but kids are funny. How do you make adult friends? How do you make friends when you're an adult? Like, I don't know. I have very few. So maybe it would be an instructional podcast for somebody like me. Also, I don't know. I just love that lady. Like, thumbs up for that. But there are a bunch of, like, ridiculous ideas in here that I'm very happy to, I'll put the website up at the end, but you guys can steal and, or do something. Oh, we made it. Oh, there we go. Sorry, I told you
another
I love the
gimp.
I just love DJ Khaled. So all those ideas basically came from my buddies at Invisibilia, Abby Wendell, Yoe Shaw, Lulu Miller, and my friend at Reveal, Laura Starcheski, and then a few of my WAMU colleagues. We all crowdsourced that and came up with some really ridiculous things. So if you are interested in creating audio, if you're interested in learning more about podcasts or narrative audio storytelling, here are a bunch of really great resources. Some of them, the bottom two are listservs that you can join. There are a couple of festivals that are amazing, and they produce their own podcasts. And then a lot of training programs. If you are somebody who's indie and you're making your own thing, consider joining the Association of Independent Radio. There are a lot of really great resources on there. And let's see. Okay, I have one last quote for you, one last little bit of audio. This is from a woman who's a crime fiction writer named Laura Lippman. Her husband is David Simon, who wrote The Wire, but that's not why she's important, but it's just a little detail for you. I talked over it, which is like the number one rule I always say to our guests. Don't talk over each other, but here I am talking over my own slide. So let's just listen, and I'll tell you why I love it so much.
My husband and I, he's a television writer, he's also written books, and we have this sort of long-standing joke in our household that our aesthetic motto is taken from the sports broadcaster, radio talk show host, Jim Rome. Have a take, don't suck. This is pretty good, isn't it? It's like,
I like that.
No.
Yeah.
And that's what he says to his callers. Have a take, don't suck. And, you know, don't suck is, I think, you know, pretty self-evident. But have a take. Have a reason you're telling this story.
I mean, we all know sucking is subjective. But what I love about this and what I try to think about this all the time is have a point of view. Have a reason why you're telling something. If you think about the things that you love, they always have a point of view. Movies, books, TV, podcasts, they all have a distinct point of view. And then know why you're telling it. And then be good at the telling, right? I think about this all the time, and I try to make things that don't suck. If you go to wamu.fm/freepodideas, that's where those 50 live. I don't know if anyone's stolen them or used them or whatever, but if you do, please let me know about it. Email me and let me listen to the thing that you make. So many thanks to all of you for having me. Tree Fort, Story Fort, Tom and Frankie of Boise Public Radio. Thank you so much. I'm happy to take questions if you have any. Oh, I should note that that's me. So if you guys like didn't know, that was I was like, why not put a picture of myself? I was just a lot of white space and I couldn't figure out how to fill it. So I just thought a picture of me just in case you forgot what I look like. If anybody has questions, our lovely friends here are gonna pass around a microphone and I'm happy to answer them.
How do you go about deciding what you're going to listen to and kind of pairing through the world of podcasts?
Okay.
For yourself and your show.
Right. So one thing that I care a lot about, thank you for your question, that's great. One thing I care a lot about is making sure that all of the voices and the great breadth of voices are represented. And so that's one way that I curate, that I've curated the show, is like who's making stuff who I haven't heard from? Like we had a young woman on the show, Misha Youssef, who had a show called The Beginner, and it was all about as a immigrant from Pakistan, how she never learned how to ride a bike, go swimming, do all these things. And so each episode was her learning how to do a thing as an adult. And I thought, well, how often do we get to hear from a young Muslim American woman who's immigrated to the U.S.? Like, not all that often. I think who's missing in traditional media? And I like to showcase those. But I also like to showcase, you know, folks who delight me. I love, the one thing, if I could, like, impart one little bit, is just, like, find the joy and delight, because, like, stuff is really hard and tiring right now in America. It doesn't matter where you live. It's just, like, we're just, like dying under the weight of all of this. So if you can make something that brings you joy, if you can listen to something that is delightful, and so for me, that's what I do. It's like, is this delighting me? Yes. Is it bringing a smile to my face? Or is it challenging me? That's sort of, you know, my North Star.
Hi, my name is Alex. My
Hi,
question
Alex.
Is engagement. I'm just curious about, we have a podcast going. Me and Julie. It's called Retired and Recently Graduated. So kind of
cute.
Fun. Thank you.
Love
Follow
it.
Us.
Love it already.
We've already started kind of building engagement. We have about 20 to 30 average viewers. But we have
viewers
a hard...
Viewers or listeners?
Listeners.
Okay, don't mean to correct
yeah,
you, but...
No, totally. Opposite.
No, our medium.
Yeah. The question, though, is, you know, we want them to engage more. And just we ask questions. We try to get responses for them. And we don't really get a lot of feedback. So...
Okay. So you're trying to get
thought.
People to, like... come on your show and engage, or you're trying to get them to call in, or you're trying to get them to tweet at you? Like, what are you trying
yeah,
to do?
Yeah, I mean, post on social media, comment, just kind of email, I mean, anything to just kind of give us feedback. Some of them are personal friends that we're assuming are listeners since we use just
right.
our own mediums.
So a lot of ways that people grow their listenership, because I think that's what ostensibly what you're trying to do is grow your listenership, is they get on other people's shows, they guest in places, they get in other media, they try to, like, get it out there in other ways. I mean, social is great, but it's like, it takes so much steam, and I don't have like a perfect answer, and I wish that I did because I would do it myself, you know, because we all want more people to put their ears on our things. But I would say, you know, who are the constituent groups that you're trying to reach? And then target those, because your podcast is not going to appeal to everybody. So figure out who you're making the show for and then find those people. So if they're like recent graduates, if they're like recently retired, like who is your target? Because I think that podcasts that are catch-all, like some of them can work really well, but the niche stuff, like you don't have to have a bazillion listeners on your knitting podcast, you know? But if you have the best knitting podcast out there, the people in your community are going to love you. So that's my best advice, which is not great, but still, I tried. So... What other questions do we have out there?
Hi, I'm Cooper from Boise.
Hi.
So I work for an inpatient drug treatment facility.
Okay.
And we're starting a podcast, so every other episode is a person in recovery that's telling their story, and that's just obviously entertaining.
Yeah.
The crazy stuff that they've been through, and then obviously
I love
you're through.
Like, it's obviously entertaining. Somebody in recovery. It's hilarious.
Well, I mean, when you have somebody laughing about how they used to...
I know.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the details. But we also, the other part is having clinicians in the community, top of their field, coming in. Mm-hmm. And it can get pretty scientific, pretty kind of boring,
yeah.
Honestly. How can we make that more entertaining and engaging?
So let your guests know who your audience is. If your audience is other clinicians, then fine, be as nerdy as you want. But if you're trying to reach a bigger segment of the population, then have them like, look, you're talking to your kid, you're talking to your nephew, you're talking to, like, a classroom of eighth graders. Like, I hate dumbing things down, but I think that saying, like, what would be interesting about this to, like, the person who is, like, you know, like, works at the post office, or the person who's, like, doing your taxes, you know? Like, what would they find interesting? And it's also your job, then, to pull it out of them. So I think sort of directing the conversation, asking very specific questions, and then if they start getting too wonky, then you say, you know what, I'm going to need you to like, dial it back a little bit and just, like, keep it on my level. Like, I'm not a clinician. I'm not, like, a therapist. I'm not a doctor. Tell me, you know, it in the basic form, or use analogies. Analogies are great because they can help people, you know, make the links. But that's what I would say. But I know having experts on, because they all want to like be the most expert possible. And you're like, okay, it's not the expert Olympics. Like, I got it, you know. So,
hi there. Hi. I'm Chelsea, and I have a question about history podcasts.
Okay.
So I have a lot of really good audio that I took a couple of years ago during a research project, mm-hmm. and my thesis is a mess, so I'd much rather turn it into a podcast.
Okay, so you think that's going to be easier? I love that.
It's terrible. I really wanted it to be a website, and my committee was like, haha, no. So... it's a really amazing story about a woman who was an anarchist theater practitioner for like 40 years. And so I have a lot of her audio, and I have audio from her manager.
Yeah.
You know, it's like really good, but I guess it's just a lot.
Yes.
And so thinking about like, even thinking about like, what is the big and then what is the little,
right.
like kind of sourcing all of that. Like,
right.
do you have, I guess, any advice on... like pairing or sort of theming like large quantities of stuff like
that? Well, first of all, you're your audience. You're the arbiter. What's interesting to you? So when you listen through your tape, like I log all of my tape. When I cut my tape, like it's all, you know, it's like an hour long thing. And then I go through and I just like cut it up into segments with the general ideas. And then so I just like, I go from big to slightly small to much smaller. Like, I just keep going smaller. Blah, blah, blah. But I think, you know, asking yourself, like, really what is interesting, and be just, like, brutal. Just, like, ugh, no, 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 no. What would, like, my neighbor be interested in? Like, what would my dad be interested in? Stuff like that. But I also think what you have going on is, like, a little bit of oral history situation. And there are a couple of podcasts out there that have taken oral history material and turned them into digestible podcast episodes. I would encourage you to listen to one called Making Gay History, where they took LGBTQ civil rights leader archives archives and turn them into podcast episodes. Now, those are each episode is about an individual person, so that might not work for you. But I think that if we're talking about sort of stories, or you find, like, for you, what is the main, like, salient story of this woman's life, and then tell it in, you know, but it's, like, it's this one period, and you're like, episode one, how she started, episode two, like, you know, how it grew, episode three, troubles, episode four, like, resolve.
I'd like suggestions for the best app on Android to listen to podcasts.
I only use Apple products, so I don't know. I can't tell you. I mean, I think Pocket Cast is what I use because the Apple podcast app is trash anymore. They updated it and it's garbage. So Pocket Cast is what I use, and I think it's available on Android. But like I know I have Stitcher on my phone as well. That's a good one. But yeah, the Android area, like I haven't had an Android since the mid-2000s, so I can't be helpful. I'm sorry. I should go home right now because this has been a total disaster. So thank you all so much for coming. I appreciate all of your questions. Thanks.